Ladies and gentlemen, you are about to hear the story of a United States senator. You are going behind the scenes of political Washington, into the Senate chambers, the cloakrooms, the private offices, the meetings, secret and public. The locale, the background, are factual. Only the names and the stories are fictional. This is Freedom, USA. Starring Tyrone Power as the Senator of the United States and featuring the voice of America's distinguished news commentator and Washington authority, Edwin C. Hill. Freedom, USA, the story of your government today. In a moment, listen to Tyrone Power as Senator Dean Edwards in Freedom, USA. Now, we present Freedom, USA, starring Tyrone Power as Senator Dean Edwards and featuring the voice of Edwin C. Hill.
This is Edwin C. Hill, ladies and gentlemen. If there's any one point on which all 96 members of the United States Senate agree, that point is the Senate's right to free, unlimited debate. No other legislative body, including our own House of Representatives, is privileged to discuss the principles of American democracy so freely. Naturally, senators will protect this precious right at all costs. But there are times when those costs are high, almost too high. For evidence of this, we take you now to the Senate chamber in Washington to witness a death, the slow, tortuous death of a bill introduced by Senator Dean Edwards, the murder weapon, a filibuster.
With the permission of the presiding officer of the Senate, I'll continue.
Permission granted, Senator Brett.
Thank you, Mr. President. Now, as the gentlemen of the Senate, including my rather irate colleague, Senator Edwards, will recall, the three bears were out walking in the woods when a little girl named Goldilocks came to their house. Finding nobody at home, Goldilocks opened the door and went into the kitchen. And there on the table,
Mr. President,
she found three bowls of porridge. One was a big bowl. One was a medium-sized bowl, and
Mr.
the other...
Mr. President!
One moment, please. For what reason is Senator Edwards standing?
The reason is obvious, Mr. President. This debate concerns a bill that's essential to this nation's welfare. I submit that the reading of nursery stories is ridiculous and disrespectful, and completely irrelevant to the question before this House.
I'm sorry, Senator Edwards, but Senator Brett is within his rights. Continue, if you wish.
As I was saying, on the kitchen table, Goldilocks found three bowls of porridge. One was a big bowl, one was a medium-sized bowl, and the third was a teeny-weeny bowl.
Mr. President, this is an outrage. With the permission of the presiding officer, I'd like to quote from Thomas Jefferson's manual regarding procedure on the floor of the Senate. No one, states Mr. Jefferson, no one is to speak impertinently or beside the question, superfluously or tediously.
Mr. President, since I still have the floor and Senator Edwards has not been properly recognized, I suggest that Senator Edwards be reminded of the Senate rule introduced by Vice President Schuyler Colfax some years ago. I memorized it for this particular occasion. Under the practice of the Senate, the rule proclaims, the chair cannot restrain a senator in remarks which are, in the opinion of the senator himself, pertinent to the issue before the Senate.
And you consider the story of the three bears pertinent to this issue?
I most certainly do. I'm using this particular story to illustrate a point which I intend to enlarge upon later in this session.
Mr. President, I wish to direct my appeal to the other members of this assembly.
You're out of order, Senator Edwards. I suggest there be no further unparliamentary interruptions. The debate will proceed.
Thank you. Now, when Goldilocks saw the three bowls of porridge, she realized how terribly hungry she had become. And so,
Edwards,
without a second thought...
Senator Grogan,
she took
isn't there some way to stop this farce?
Yes, perhaps. Meet me in the cloakroom right away. Edwards, there's only one way to squelch Brett's filibuster.
You mean withdraw the bill?
Well, it's your bill. It's only fair that we have your consent to table it.
But we've spent months preparing it. We can't let them talk it to death now.
Is this your first experience with filibustering, Edwards?
Yes, and I think it's a rotten device.
Well, that's the usual impression at first. Listen, young man. It's my responsibility as party whip to see that bills introduced by our party are given immediate attention. But in this case...
You're willing to let it die?
Right.
Why?
A matter of values, Edwards. It's within our power to tie up the Senate for weeks, or to see that we get on with all the other necessary business on the agenda.
Isn't this bill necessary business?
Well, yes, we think it is. But others in the Senate think it should be filibustered into oblivion.
Then we ought to disarm them.
Disarm them?
Take away their weapon. Draft a bill against the filibuster.
No, no. Well, Dean, do I have your consent to withdraw the bill?
Look, Senator Grogan, I think we...
Yes or no?
Okay. Table it. But let's get to work on some sort of anti-filibuster law.
Edwards, if the United States Senate thought an anti-filibuster law was necessary, it would have passed one years ago.
Well, maybe it's time to do it right now.
No, I doubt that.
Suppose I work on a preliminary draft, then you...
No. Don't do it, Edwards. You'd be making a grave mistake. For the party, for the Senate, and for yourself.
The last time, Miss Kincaid, I'm fresh out of statements about that bill.
But, Senator, all I ask is one little comment. Just any old hunk of immortality you happen to have had.
No statements, no comments.
No news at all?
Not in you. Miss Kincaid.
Name's Mary. Your dignity's showing again.
Mary, Brett's filibuster took the bill out of business. It's been tabled.
Now, I know that, but do you plan to reintroduce it?
Depends on how the party feels about it.
How do you feel about it?
Sore. I don't like filibusters.
Well, there's been some talk about a rule or law to stop them.
A good, well-thought-out law might help a lot.
Would you happen to be thinking one out, Senator?
No, but it's a good idea.
You mean you'd actually consider writing an anti-filibuster law?
You bet I would. Where are you going?
To phone in your statement. It may not be immortal, but it sure is news.
Edwards, it makes no difference how sincere or idealistic the bill is. Our party will not support any anti-filibuster legislation.
But this isn't a matter for party politics, Senator Grogan.
It's becoming one.
How do you figure that?
Well, you happen to be an outstanding member of our party.
So?
So the party doesn't want its outstanding members to make fools of themselves. That's just what you're doing, young man. And we intend to stop you.
More telegrams, Your Majesty. Got enough here in the office to stuff a mattress.
All saying the same thing, Ginger?
Yep. Forget the anti-filibuster law. An anti-filibuster law would be disastrous to free speech. The filibuster is the price we must pay for our freedom of expression in this great land.
Okay.
Oh, there must be wires here from every party leader, lobbyist, statesman, precinct captain.
All the professionals. Nothing but the pros.
Guess you're right.
That's what bothers me. Why don't the unprofessionals write to me, the public, the folks who really matter?
Maybe they're just not sure about filibusters.
What do you mean?
Well, the professionals, or whatever you call them, they know the tricks and the ins and outs of lawmaking. But the people, the unprofessionals, they're all wrapped up in getting a new job or keeping the old one or paying the doctor bill. They have so little chance to know.
And if they did know, Ginger, would they agree with the professionals or with my bill?
Well, I don't know, Senator Edwards. I just don't know.
Well, Edwards, today's your big day, huh?
Oh, hello, Senator Grogan.
You're out of filibuster bill? All polished, ready to introduce?
Yes, sir.
Dean, listen to me.
just for a moment, forget that I'm an old career man in Congress.
That's pretty hard to do.
Well, try anyway. Forget that I'm the man assigned to make our party look its best.
You've never been able to forget it, have you?
Forget me and the party. Think of yourself. You've got a great record in the Senate, Edwards. The party's proud of you.
Party again.
All right, all right. Both parties. The whole Senate is proud of you. Don't turn against them, Edwards.
I don't intend to.
But, man, you're doing it. That bill of yours will take away the Senate's most treasured possession.
I know, I know. Freedom of debate.
But doesn't that mean anything to you?
Senator, how free is a debate when one man, or one little faction, can stymie all work, all discussion, all progress in the Senate for hours, days?
Talk can be a tool of freedom, Edwards. The upper house of Congress has never accepted an anti-filibuster bill. This one of yours is destined to meet the same fate.
Well, then why are you so concerned about it?
Why? Because the bill will bear the name of Senator Dean Edwards. You're a member of our party. That bill can be fatal to your senatorial career. And downright damaging to the party, too.
Party, party, party. The party seems to mean more to you than the people you represent.
A party is people, Edwards. I believe in the party system. And I don't believe in that bill of yours, for the very same reasons.
Well, I'm willing to be convinced. We'll see how the committee reports on it.
It will never get as far as the committee.
What do you mean? Once I introduce it, it'll go to the committee for hearings, and then
I'll... You're not going to get a chance to introduce it, Edwards.
How can you stop me?
Senator Grogan!
Over here.
What do you intend to do, Grogan?
Senator Edwards in there, too?
He's here with me.
They're calling the roll in the chamber.
We'll be right there.
Well, Grogan, how do you intend to keep me from introducing my bill?
Let's go, Edwards. The odds are 95-1 against you, my friend. You're going to learn a lot today, but it's going to hurt, and hurt bad.
Back to Tyrone Power, starring as Senator Dean Edwards in Freedom, USA, and the second act of our story.
This is Edmund C. Hill, ladies and gentlemen. In theory, no business transacted in the United States Senate may be considered valid unless a quorum, that's a minimum of 49 senators, is present. In practice, however, it's difficult to keep that many busy legislators in one place all the time. Hence, the rules permit that a quorum may be presumed to be present, unless the senator demands a quorum call, which he may do at any time. Right now, as the Senate disposes of a preliminary routine business, the chamber is surprisingly well populated. But the atmosphere in the Great Hall is tense, bristling with anticipation. This is even more evident among the members of Senator Dean Edwards' party.
Mr. President!
Senator Edwards is standing now, addressing the presiding officer.
Mr. President!
Does Senator Edwards wish to be recognized?
Yes, Mr. President, I do.
For what purpose?
I wish to introduce a new bill for consideration by the Senate.
Mr. President!
Chair recognizes Senator Edwards.
Mr. President, a point of order.
Will Senator Grogan state his business, please?
A point of order, sir. To ensure the proper consideration of Senator Edwards' new bill, I request a quorum call.
Mr. President, it's quite obvious that the attendance in the chamber right now far exceeds a quorum.
A point of order, Mr. President. Sustained by parliamentary law and the rules of the Senate.
It's nothing but a waste of time to request...
Sorry, Senator Edwards. The request must be granted. The clerk will please call the roll.
The junior senator from Wisconsin.
Here.
The senior senator from Wyoming.
Present.
The junior senator from Wyoming. Here.
Order, please. Quorum has been ascertained by roll call, and the Senate will proceed with the business at hand. Chair recognizes Senator Edwards for the purpose of introducing new legislation.
Thank you, Mr. President. I wish it...
One moment! Order, please, order. Quiet, gentlemen, please. Chair would like to remark that the members of Senator Edwards' own party might show him a bit more respect. Downright discourteous, I might add, to leave the chamber as a party member is about to introduce a new bill.
Mr. President, a point of order, sir.
All right, Senator Grogan, state your business.
The sudden departure of so many of our colleagues has depleted our ranks considerably. It's obvious that a quorum is no longer present in the chamber. Rather than risk invalidating Senator Edwards' new legislation, I request another quorum call.
Mr. President, this seems to be nothing but a calculated conspiracy by the members of my own party to dis...
As a point of order, Senator Grogan's request must be honored. The clerk will call the roll again.
Senior Senator from Wyoming. The senior senator from Wyoming. Absent. The junior senator from Wyoming.
Here.
Roll call has established that a quorum is not present in the Senate chamber at this time. According to prescribed Senate procedure, the sergeant at arms and his deputies will go forth to arrest any and all members of this assembly who may be at large. Until those senators are returned to their seats here in the chamber and the roll is called again to determine the presence of a quorum, all further business will be suspended.
Well, Your Highness, how'd they take to your... Oh. What happened, Senator?
No luck, Ginger. Any calls?
Just Senator Brett.
Brett?
Mm-hmm. He phoned 3 times.
What's he want?
He says he wants to see you as soon as possible.
I don't get it. First my own party gangs up on me, and now the opposition leader wants to see me.
Shall I set up an appointment?
Well, you might as well. But if he starts quoting from the Three Bears again...
I'll hit him with a congressional record bound in leather.
I'll tell you why I'm here, Edwards. It's about that new bill of yours. The one against the filibuster.
I know, Brett. You want me to drop it too, right?
Drop it? Not at all. My party wants to help you pass it.
I remember you as a strong and active advocate of the filibuster.
You want your bill passed, don't you?
Of course I do.
Well, you know my party holds a heavy majority on the committee that reviews and recommends it. With their approval, the bill can't miss.
Why all this sudden interest, Brett, in outlawing the filibuster?
Well, it's not that so much. After all, once the bill has been passed, we can always take its teeth out with amendments. But for now...
Wait a minute. What's this about amendments?
Well, just that we can amend the bill so it really doesn't hurt the filibuster at all.
Oh? Then why bother passing it at all?
Well, a political necessity, Dean. My party needs to chalk up some colorful legislation.
Just a minute, Brett.
Well, whether it passes or not, a ride on the publicity bandwagon will keep our constituents happy.
Now, listen, Brett. I didn't write it to chalk up a score for the public or to play up to the grandstand.
See here, Edwards.
No deal, Brett. I don't like laws with removable teeth. They gum up the chances for good legislation.
Oh, Senator.
Hmm? Oh, hello, Mary.
Congratulations, Senator. Looks like you won again.
How's the market on scoops?
Booming, thanks to you.
Now, what have I done now?
You weren't in the Senate chamber today.
Is that news? I just got tied up in some hearings.
Well, in your absence, good old Senator Brett came through for you. A noble and generous gesture from a member of the opposition party.
What are you talking about?
Now, Brett took your party completely by surprise. He introduced his own anti-filibuster bill.
He what? But he knows that'll never pass.
Tell me, Senator, is it true what they say in the cloakrooms? That you and Brett made a fast little deal to push that bill through?
Senators heard the report of the chairman of the committee. The anti-filibuster bill, as drafted and introduced by Senator Brett, has been approved without change, by the members of that committee. The Senate is now privileged to debate its merits and vote on its enactment.
Mr. President.
Sit down, Edwards. You've done enough harm.
May we have quiet, please?
Mr. President.
The chair recognizes Senator Edwards.
Mr. President, gentlemen of the Senate, I ask that the Senate vote to defeat Senator Brett's anti-filibuster bill. The adoption of this bill would be an insult to the concepts of democratic government. Contrary to my previous attitudes, gentlemen, I intend to start talking against this anti-filibuster bill, and I promise you that I will not stop talking until the bill has been withdrawn or defeated by the vote of this assembly.
Mr. President, I say that Edwards is out of order. I insist that my bill be put to a vote.
Vote!
Order! Order, please! Order must be restored before we can go on. Senator Edwards is within his rights. However, the chair wishes to warn Senator Edwards that irrelevant talk will not be tolerated.
Mr. President, a filibuster cannot be considered irrelevant when it is being used to illustrate the weakness of an anti-filibuster bill. I'd always been under the impression that the filibuster was an unpleasant, unfair weapon used by one man, or a small group, to usurp the power of the majority. But events in the past few days have caused me to alter that opinion. I realize now that the filibuster is unpleasant only when used against you. But as long as every one of us has equal opportunity to use it, the unpleasantness is minimized.
Mr. President, that's nothing but pure sophistry and double talk.
You still have the floor, Senator Edwards.
Thank you. I realize now, too, that the filibuster does not usurp the power of the majority. It limits it. In so doing, it upholds the principles of democratic assembly. If the power of the majority were permitted to be the only power, if the minority were forced to forego all its rights to the will of the majority, tyranny would flourish and free expression would die. How long has it been, Grogan? 3, 4 hours?
4 hours and 20 minutes, Dean. Keep it up.
A quotation by the great American editor, William Allen White. You tell me, writes Mr. White, that law is above freedom of utterance. And I reply that you can have no wise laws nor free enforcement of wise laws unless there is free expression of the wisdom of the people. And alas, their folly with it. But if there is freedom, folly will die of its own poison, and wisdom will survive. That is the history of the race. It is proof of man's kinship with God.
Do you wish to continue, Senator Edwards? Senator Edwards!
Mr. President!
For what reason is Senator Grogan standing?
I wish to make a motion. I move that the anti-filibuster bill introduced by Senator Brett be defeated here and now by unanimous voice vote.
Is there a second?
Mr. President.
Senator Brett.
As the originator of the bill before the Senate, I'm faced with a definite obligation. Under the circumstances, I welcome the opportunity to fulfill that obligation. I second the motion that my bill be defeated.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. The bill is defeated.
Edmund C. Hill again, ladies and gentlemen. You have just witnessed the cause and effect of a great experiment, an experiment in democracy. Its cause, the need to preserve the dignity and self-respect of man. Its effect, a nation of people who are willing to reconsider an idea in order to propagate an ideal. An ideal we choose to call freedom, USA.
Our star, Tyrone Power, will return in just a moment. We'll be right back.
I appreciate your taking me to dinner, Brett.
The least I could do. I certainly caused you enough trouble.
We're even now. One filibuster apiece.
You know what finally convinced me that you were right in calling my bluff?
My honest face? Noble bearing? Pear-shaped tones?
Nope. A quotation. One by Walt Whitman. Here.
Oh, this it?
Mm-hmm. If you can read my writing.
The purpose of democracy is to illustrate, at all hazards, this doctrine or theory, that man, properly trained in sanest, highest freedom, may and must become a law and a series of laws unto himself.
Next week, may we invite you to again visit our national capital for another absorbing episode of Freedom USA, starring Tyrone Power. In the interest of good government, we urge you to listen to these important stories from Washington, D.C. Freedom, USA.